Autumn 2015. At the Paris Opera, Stéphane Lissnard is putting the finishing touches to his first press conference as director of the opera. Backstage artists and crew prepare to raise the curtain on a new season with Schönberg's Moses and Aaron. But the announcement of a strike and arrival of a bull in a supporting role complicate matters. Easy Rider is the name of the bull, and it is appearing on stage in the company's production of Schönberg's opera. We suddenly find ourselves at a meeting in which bull casting and staging logistics are being discussed. Later, we meet Easy Rider outdoors in his pen and learn he gets massaged several times a day, is given a shower, and has had a stage built for him, complete with lighting instruments on which he can stand so as to get used to being in a theater. At the same time, a promising young Russian singer begins at the opera's academy. In the hallways of the Opéra Bastille, he and his destiny cross paths with that of Bryn Terfel, one of the great voices of his time. As the season progresses, more and more characters appear, playing out the human comedy in the manner of a documentary opera. But this comedy is set against a tragic backdrop when terrorist attacks plunge Paris into mourning. Even though the show must go on at all costs, there is no end of trouble for the new director. A star choreographer jumps ship soon after taking over as director of ballet at Ballet Garnier. But it is preparations for Wagner's six-hour opera, Die Meistersinger, that reunite the company. That from Film Journal International and Rotten Tomatoes about the recent documentary film, The Paris Opera, that will be screened as part of the Winter Film Festival at the Dietrich Theatre in Taganrog. Though tomorrow night's opening event is sold out, there will be many chances to see those two movies throughout the course of the festival and many more. The festival runs to March 8th. Ronnie Harvey, Assistant General Manager at the Dietrich, coordinates these film celebrations, which have grown into seasonal events, spring, summer, fall, and winter.
I just got an email last night from a man who was talking to me about wanting to see more films. And I was thinking to myself, you realize where we are right now. We've expanded from 14 twice a year to now 21 four times a year, and they're still craving more. He wanted some more out of festival. I want them randomly. I don't want them just like this. And so that shows that there really is a demand for these, because we were always concerned that there wasn't demand for indie films outside of festival. Because sometimes, for some reason, the festival brochure works. Putting them in this kind of map, if you will, of this kind of puzzle game. People like to pick out what we're going to see and when. And we never thought it would work outside of this, but we're starting to realize that we're an art house theater inside a mainstream theater. We're more than what we originally intended to be. Like I've said before, we're showing more movies now than what we would have if we just had one screen dedicated to these kinds of films. So we're doing exactly what the original mission was, and now we're exceeding the original mission. And it's amazing, and I want to keep going. I really do think that at some point I'm going to hear the words 4 weeks, 28 films. Like, I know that's going to be on the horizon, and I'm stressing out about it already.
And you've already added a new feature, and that is the trailer celebration.
Absolutely, yeah, we do. It's getting bigger each time. It's where we put all of the trailers to all of the movies, and trailers just means the commercials, if you will, to promote the films, and we offer a discount on concessions, but it's free to come in, and it's 45 minutes, and you're just watching the commercials for them, essentially, and people love it, because they come in, and they go, we read about it, but we weren't sure if we'd like it or not, and then we watched it, and we checked it, we're gonna go see it now. There's something about visually seeing what the movie's about, and it draws you in, so that's essentially what my job is. That's how I pick. I watch them all. I look and I see what entices me. So they're doing what I did.
Do you happen to have more that you're attracted to this time than other times?
Actually, this time, when I look at some of these films, I'm I've already seen two of them off the bat. I've already seen two, our two opening night films. I made sure to watch them to see what they were like. But there are so many Oscar picks on here. Don't quote me, but I think out of all these films, we have 37 Oscar nominations among them, among the 21. A lot of them are nominated for Best Picture. So it's kind of a coup on our end. We have them all together and we're able to have people see what's being nominated. And the awards will happen during the festival. So whatever wins, that's going to get. I remember last year we ended up having Moonlight, which won Best Picture. We had it during our festival and the audience was, it was smaller audiences. I mean, it was a very niche audience for that. And the day after it won the Oscar, boom. 60 people in the theater that next morning. So we're really excited to see what's going to happen with these films because we have it a little bit longer than when we had Moonlight. We have a little bit longer period of time and I think they're going to really... But yeah, there's something about this set of films that draws me more than other ones. There's something about them that I'm really excited about. I think they speak... Some of them speak to where we are right now and the problems we're facing and the debates we're having. There's no way to get around... politically charged. There's no way to get around it at this point. That's where we are. And so I didn't deliberately create that, but it organically created a story of where we are and where we want to be.
Well, take us to the opening night and what are you coupling?
Okay, well, I'd love to take you to the opening night, but we're basically sold out. Yes, we don't have anything left.
What are you running on the opening night?
Opening night will first feature Lady Bird and then followed up with Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. No wonder we're sold out. And those are the two films I've seen. I can't recommend either of those films more. Lady Bird is kind of a coming-of-age story. We all could connect to it in a certain way, no matter male or female, because we all came of age at a certain point. And it's about the daughter. She's in a Catholic school, and she's trying to navigate where she wants to go with her life and who she wants to be. And her mother, while on the surface, does not seem like overly overbearing, but to her, she's overly overbearing. And she can't get past, she doesn't feel like she can do what she wants to do. She feels like her mother's smothering her. And the story unfolds in a humorous, touching, dramatic, heartbreaking way that just leaves you connected to one or two of the characters or both of them. You connect to the daughter, but then you connect to the mother by the end, and you really see both sides and you really see the love that they shared. It's perfect. It's my favorite movie of the year. Hands down, my favorite movie of the year.
And you see a lot of them.
And I see a lot of them. And then it follows up with Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Very different thematically. That's the story of a mother who her daughter was murdered. And she is not getting the answers. The killer is still out there. She has no idea what the police are doing. It's in a small town, rural town. Tensions are high. Racial tensions are high. And she decides to put up three billboards outside the outskirts of town that demand justice for her daughter. And of course, that riles up everybody. And all of that hidden anger comes out. It's dark. It's funny at times, but it is dark, violent, angry, but it tells a wonderful story of a mother who's just trying to find the answers that she wants. So it's also a really great film, and I think that's the one that's going to win Best Picture, but that's just my...
Take us into the heart, then, of some of the other ones that might be telling us about where we are.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there are movies here that explain where we are on the spectrum of politics, on climate change, on women's rights, on gay rights, on refugees. We have it all in this festival, and I didn't even realize that it was all there. We have a movie, Bill Nye the Science Guy. You all know Bill Nye. And this follows him through changing from being a kid's science teacher, essentially, if you will, the host. I loved him. I chanted Bill every time the song would come on. I was ready. Bill, Bill, Bill. But this movie shows how he's changed from that to a real, legitimate voice for a cause and a movement that people are coming at him from which way and saying, you're not a scientist, you don't understand. But he's saying, no, I believe in the scientists and I'm going to be their voice. And I've learned and listened and pay attention. So it's the story of him just becoming who that voice for a generation and for the future. And then we have some of the documentaries I can see here that explain some of those things. Dolores is about Dolores Huerta, who was for the workers' unions, that she's kind of a voice that people didn't know about. People didn't hear anything about, like, how important she was for labor, immigrant labor. And that's something that is debated right now. That's something that's really on the zeitgeist, if you will. Another documentary that we have is Human Flow. It spans the world and shows you the refugee crisis that we're dealing with right now and how many people are displaced and what they suffer through to be displaced and what that means. They don't know where they're going. And it talks about what we can do as a society to try to fix this crisis that so many people.
It's with the prominent artist from China, Ai Weiwei.
Ai Weiwei is the filmmaker, and he goes and follows all their hardships and plight while trying to find the heart and the face for their struggle. We have women's rights. Divine Order is a film about a little Swiss village in the 70s, and it's about a woman who takes care of her family, and she's far removed from the women's movement that's happening all around because they're quaint and don't really dive into that. They listen to their husbands. And she starts to hear, she starts to think, and she starts to realize that she wants to get involved in that. And it's the story of the men in that town trying to stop the women from voicing their opinions. And the women, they don't have any of that. They're not going to take any of that. And I look at some of those titles and I see parallels to things that we're dealing with right now and how important it is to show them and talk about them, because sometimes you're removed from something that you're dealing with. You're technically removed from the refugee crisis, if you will. That's not something that we think about, so we need to have it in front of us so that we can actually start to discuss it and come to some kind of understanding. Now, I'll try not to be so heavy. Let's go to something a little more, like, we have a movie, Goodbye, Christopher Robin. Goodbye, Christopher Robin is the story of how Winnie the Pooh came to be. I did not know the story of Winnie the Pooh. I've just always known Winnie the Pooh was Winnie the Pooh. I didn't know who wrote it or how it came about, but that it was a real boy and it was a father trying to deal with coming back from the war, and everyone was upset and they wanted something fresh and lively and fun. And Winnie the Pooh ended up being that. And so it's the story of how Winnie the Pooh kind of took over and it became this phenomenon, if you will. And it's about the son getting put in the limelight and having to be right up front and how that kind of tore their family apart. But it's a beautiful, sweet, lovely little story about a family. Something that might interest you art-wise, we have the first ever oil-painted film. Loving Vincent is a drama, but it is fully oil-painted in the vein of Van Gogh's work. So it tells you his life and his death and how he got there, all while being painted in front of you. And it looks so beautiful, and it's something so revolutionary that I'm very excited to see that. And then I like to talk about this one because with the ability to show this many films, we're able to experiment a little bit, if you will. There's some films in here that I wouldn't necessarily choose in any kind of other festival. It would be there, but it'd end up on the back burner and wouldn't end up coming. Shape of Water. It has 13 Oscar nominations, and it's probably going to win a bunch. It's a movie about a mute woman who works in a science lab during the Cold War, and she doesn't know what is inside this lab, but she knows the Russians want to get to it. And she finds out that what's inside is a sea creature, and as the movie unfolds, she falls in love with the sea creature and then tries to help the sea creature escape. Now, granted, hearing that right off the bat, you immediately go, what are you talking about? I've heard people laugh and not people understand, but there are movies like King Kong, for example. There are movies that we've always, throughout entire filmmaking, have been about a woman falling in love with, or vice versa, something that isn't necessarily human. So this isn't strange to me, but it is a strange movie to have here, but it got so much accolades. It looks beautiful, and it's supposed to be a wonderfully written, visually stunning film that I was like, you know what? Throw caution to the wind, we're going for it. Because that's what this is about. It's about being experimental as well. And now that we have the ability to show all these movies, why not just do it and see how it goes? And people, that was the main example of a movie that they said, after watching the trailer, were very interested now. They were not interested before by just reading the description. So I'm very excited for that.
Now, I want you to just mention the Paris Opera.
The Paris Opera is a look behind the scenes. It was filmed in 2015, I believe, and it's a look behind the scenes at what it takes to create one of the most impressive shows in the world. And it actually deals with a tumultuous year in the sense that it deals with a new head and the 2015 terrorist attack that happened, which caused a lot of turmoil within that community at that time. So it's a wonderfully visually stunning look at behind the scenes for the Paris Opera. We have another little art-inspired film that I'd talk about, Faces Places. Faces Places follows Agnes Varda and JR. He's a photographer. And they are two very different people together. I mean, she's an older woman. He's a young guy with glasses on all the time. And it follows them as they create this project where they take photos of everyday people and blow them up to these epic proportions and show those people what they look like, that their image could be beautiful. And it follows them. It's supposed to be wildly funny and endearing. And they turn into this couple that you can't imagine could be so not alike, but connect so big. And it just goes to show how positive and unifying art can be in a time when you're not so sure about unity. And that film shows you that their unity can spread.
And it seems that we still need to come to terms with what was happening in Germany in that awful, dreadful time of the Nazi era. And you have some films that sort of
absolutely
are
it wouldn't be a festival without a film, honestly, because I feel like the output is always there, because you think that there's nothing more to learn, but there is always something more to learn from that time. And Darkest Hour follows Winston Churchill during the time of Dunkirk and trying to deal with what he's going to do, especially being a new leader, how that's going to work. But he wants to defeat the Nazis. And Gary Oldman disappears into the role. He will win Best Actor. Done. Don't bet me on it. We've had a Churchill film before, but it was nothing like this one. Nothing like this one. And then Bombshell, the Hedy Lamarr story, is different in the sense that it's a documentary about Hedy Lamarr, the beautiful screen legend who starred with so many wonderful people, and how she had an impact on the war that we would have never known about, and I don't think I didn't know about. But she created a communication called frequency hopping, and it helped create a secret radio system that helped the Allied forces torpedo Nazi U-boats. And she was way more than a pretty face. No one knew the kind of technical advances she made. And we still use that technology today for wireless phones and Bluetooth and the technology that we use right around us right now. And she was the spearhead of it. So it's a story that got lost and now it's found.
Now tell us what we can do to get a brochure, see that schedule so we can do our own March Madness where we have the graph and the brackets.
Yeah, we're February Madness. The festival will run from February 16th to March 8th. You can get a brochure by visiting the ticket booth at the theater, or you can go online at dietrichtheater.com. There is all the information you need for every movie, all the showtimes, and the calendar of events that's going on and when the showtimes are. And there are 3 weeks full of showtimes, day, night, all the time, that you can definitely find time to see something that you want. And there's something in here for everybody.
Ronnie Harvey, Assistant General Manager at the Dietrich Theater in Taconic. He coordinates the seasonal film festivals at the Dietrich, and we're on the eve of the Winterfest. February 16th will be the start, and they're sold out. They have a wonderful opening night double feature usually, and lots of celebration in terms of food and so forth. Well, that's already taken care of. That's tomorrow. But those films, Lady Bird and Three Billboards, will be screened throughout the rest of the festival. So if you miss them tomorrow night, you can see them in the course of the festival. And that's the pattern. 21 films through 21 days, rotated and screened many times at different times of the day and on the weekend. And so the festival will run through March 8th at the Dietrich Theater in Tunkhannock, 60 East Tioga Street, or more information on the web, dietrichtheater.com, dietrichtheater.com, dietrichtheater, dietrichtheater.com, the Wyoming County Cultural Center at the Dietrich Theater, Winterfest 2018, February 16th through March 8th, 21 films in 21 days. For more information, dietrichtheater.com.